This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
To be led in the paths of righteousness and to grow, we have to do new things. We have to be willing to change. And here's a little sheep fact. They will stay in the same pasture forever if the shepherd doesn't move them. Matter of fact, they will wear out the pasture. They will destroy the pasture. And it and them will get infected with parasites. They need to be moved regularly in order to be healthy. Deuteronomy 1:6, thus says the Lord, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Come on, some of you have been dancing around the same stinking problem. You've had the same bad attitude for the last 20 years. You've been mad at the same person for the last 5 years. You've had the same chip on your shoulder since you were 20 years old. And it's time to move on. It's time, yes, you're made right with God through your faith in Christ, but now it's time to shine a little brighter. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the hope of the world, but people are not going to see Jesus if they don't see him through his people. Wherever God has got you, whatever neighborhood, whatever job, whatever school, whatever church, you are strategically placed by God for a purpose. And your purpose is to shine. Come on. Well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what my call is. Shine. Go to work and smile. And when people ask you why you're so happy all the time, tell them, because I know Jesus. I've always got hope. My circumstances may not always be what I want them to be, but he's my helper. Change always requires new challenges. God wants us to follow him and move when he says move and stay when he says stay. Sometimes we want to stay and God says move, and sometimes we want to move and God says stay. And we don't have time to go there right now, but in Numbers chapter 9, we have a great example of when the cloud covered the tabernacle, when the Israelites were traveling through the wilderness. They were led by a cloud during the day and fire by night. And if you read Numbers 9, 17 through 22, they're just really beautiful scriptures, because it basically says that sometimes the cloud stayed a day and then it moved and they had to move. And sometimes it stayed overnight and sometimes it stayed several days. And so they never knew when God was going to move, but when God moved, they needed to move. Now, how can you tell when God is finished with something? There's nothing that makes you more miserable than to keep holding on to something that God got done with a long time ago. Are you prone to stay in the same place until it becomes a rut? Do you feel like you're stuck in a rut you can't get out of? Do you need something new, but you're either too lazy to move or too fearful to move? When the place where you're at is no longer giving you maximum benefit, you need to move. You need to change. You know what? I hope that my television program, my teaching, my books and CDs, I hope they help you forever. But you know what? If you ever get to the point where I'm not helping you anymore and you've got all you can get from me, then please go listen to somebody else, because the most important thing is that you grow. That you grow brighter and brighter. And you know, different people get different things from different people. Some people couldn't stand the way that I preach, and then others, the only way they're ever gonna get anything is to hear from somebody like me, who kind of like is straightforward, and in your face. But some people couldn't take that. I mean, I'd make them mad in 5 minutes and they'd be ready to just throw me to the dogs or something. Have you been in a job for years that's a rut, a grave with no ends? Do you need a new pasture? Are you in a church where you're no longer growing spiritually? Wow, you guys got really quiet. Now, I'm all for commitment. And as long as you can grow, you need to stay somewhere and be faithful. I don't care if you're there 100 years, but you need to ask yourself, am I changing? Am I growing? Am I serving? Or am I just going in and taking up space on a pew every week, warming the seat, going home, going back, going home, going back, going home, and nothing has changed in me in the last 20 years. I've still got the same dumb problems I had 20 years ago. Then something is wrong either with you or the place. Well, do what you want to with it. Are your friends causing you to become sharper and better? Are they a good influence on you? Or do you need a fresh pasture of friends to graze in? Man, I'm telling you what, the people that you hang out with sometimes can make you or break you. Wow. I want to get around somebody that's got some kind of a godly anointing on their life. Man, get me away from a complainer, a murmurer, a gossiper, somebody who finds fault with everybody else. I don't want to hear nothing about except just what's wrong everywhere. Just tell me something happy. The path of the righteous, I believe, is being in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. So here's the thing. I can be doing the right thing, but if I'm doing it in the wrong place, it becomes the wrong thing for me. I was in a church. I worked at a church for 5 years, and that was where my public ministry began. There were five wonderful years and also growing years that were painful for me. I learned a lot about how to come under authority and just a lot of things I won't go into, but God started dealing with me that he was finished with me there. And, you know, it's really painful when God gets finished and you're not finished yet. And so I didn't go. I felt like God wanted me to step out and start my own ministry. Not that I was just trying to be some rebellious woman trying to have my own thing. I really just felt like that God wanted me to have a broader area, a broader platform than what I was ever going to be able to have there, because I worked for somebody else and needed to help them fulfill their vision. And had lots of confirmation, but just didn't move. Didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Didn't want people to think that I was rebellious. Didn't want them to think I was full of myself. Didn't want to get out and fail, make a fool out of myself. There was all kinds of reasons. And one night I was sitting in the front row in my second seat over from the aisle where I sat every Sunday morning for two services and every Tuesday night because I was on the leadership team and so we were at all the services. And God hollered at me. I heard very loudly inside, "What are you doing here?" I thought, well, I'm going to church. That's what I do. And the next thing that I felt in my heart was, I don't need you here anymore. I need you somewhere else now. See, it's not about me just being where I would like to be for my benefit. I need to be where God can use me the most. And like I said, man, please, if you're growing and you're serving, and then you stay right where you're at. I'm not encouraging anybody to leave their church, to leave their job, to get rid of their friends, but I'm asking you to examine the fruit of what you're doing and see, are you growing? Is it helping you become all that God wants you to be? And if you do need to do something else, you don't have to do it in a nasty, mean, hateful way. I'm still friends with the pastor at the church that I left now some odd 25 years ago, and we still have great relationship. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. But you know what? If I would have stayed for all the wrong reasons, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be reaching people all around the world. So I'm just telling you, if God is trying to give you a holy push, then you need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes not everybody likes it when you do that, but you're going to be very sorry if you get to the end of your life and all you can think is, I wonder what would have happened if I would have. So anyway, now I hope I don't get anybody in trouble and you go do a bunch of crazy stuff just to... How many of you understand the balance of what I'm trying to share with you? So, my journey with God was very, very interesting, like everybody's is. And I found that life is a never-ending pattern of letting go of and taking hold of. Letting go and taking hold. I let go of a full-time job to begin to study so I could prepare for ministry, and all I was doing was those home Bible studies. When I let go of that job, I thought surely God would really bless us financially and we'd see miracles in our finances. But for 6 years, we just had to believe God for our socks and underwear and enough money to pay the bills and everything else. So I did the right thing and actually seemed to go backwards before I went forward. Let me tell you, sometimes our commitment is going to be tested. We let go of childhood and we become an adolescent. We let go of adolescence and become an adult. We leave friends and go to college. We leave those friends and go home and get a job. We get married. We leave parents. We have children. We leave freedom behind. How many of you didn't miss what I said there? Amen. We take on more responsibility. Our children leave. We have to take hold of a brand new life. And personally, I'm in a place in my life right now where I am having to take hold of some wrinkles that I would prefer not to take hold of. How many of you are there? You're having to take hold of a knee that doesn't want to do what it used to do anymore, and a wrinkle that wasn't there the day before when you looked in the mirror. And so the thing is am I going to do things the right way, or am I going to do them my way? Am I going to just do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? You know, if we always do what God wants us to do, we're always going to have peace. Doing the right thing is an amazing thing. What would happen if we made a commitment tonight, God, from now on, I'm just going to do, with your help, what I really believe in my heart is right. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to make excuses. I just want to very simply do what I believe is the right thing to do. How many of you know that if you go shopping and they give you too much change, keeping it is not the right thing to do? How many of you know when you get your groceries that it's not right to leave your grocery cart out in the middle of the parking lot leaned against somebody else's car? Look at how smart you are. How many of you know that it's not right to sit at work and play on the internet when your boss isn't looking? Oh, only about half of you know that. Well, do I need to rework my message tonight? That's called integrity. Sadly, a lot of people today don't even know what that is. And we have to learn to do what's right because it's right, because it honors and glorifies God when we do what's right, and we have to leave the results to God. You don't always get instant results. Honestly, if the devil sees that you're committed to righteousness, he more than likely is going to find a way to persecute you. But if you're steadfast, you will ultimately come into a place of reward that is so amazing that you absolutely won't even know how to think about it. You know, listen, I mean, I look at the hard things that I went through and the friends that I lost and getting asked to leave my church and being made fun of and just all that. I mean, just, it was so painful. But you know what? God is faithful. Do you know how awful it is to always know, have this nagging feeling that you're not doing what you should be doing, but you just keep doing what you shouldn't be doing anyway? I mean, it just sucks the life right out of you. It is wonderful to just know that you're doing the right thing. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a good example of somebody who did the right thing, and it looked like it just turned out sour. I mean, they decided that they would rather go into a burning fiery furnace than to bow down to a wicked, ungodly king. And so they made the right choice. They went into the furnace, and their reward was the king turned the furnace up 7 times hotter. But guess what? If you go and read in the book of Daniel, it's such an amazing story if you're not familiar with it. When the king looked in the furnace and saw the fire and saw the flames, he said, wait a minute. 3 men went in the furnace and I see a 4th man in there. And I love this part. They went in bound and they came out loosed. Sometimes it's in the furnace that your greatest bondages are broken off of your life. And so, I mean, it's in those times when I lost all my friends and nobody wanted anything to do with me that I got to really know God. And I love the fact that the Bible says when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Just because I'm doing the right thing doesn't mean that I'm not going to go through difficulty. And it's not something I need to whine about. It's not something I need to get confused about. It's not something I need to remind God how good I am and now I don't understand why this is happening to me. Why me? Why me? Why me? Well, why not me? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of people going through lots of different things. And if I trust God, I can trust him in the valleys as well as I can on the mountaintops. And I can trust that God's got something good for me, even if it takes place in the furnace. Joseph made the right decision when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He said no to maintain his moral standard. Boy, I wish we had more of that today. You don't want me to go there, do you? Wow. And he said, no, I'm not going to get sexually involved with you. Why? Because he knew it wasn't right. He did it to honor God. Period, end of the conversation. So she lied about him, said that he tried to attack her. Potiphar believed her, and Joseph went to prison for 13 years for something that he didn't do. He did the right thing and spent 13 years in prison, but those years in prison was when God forged him into a man that he could use, and he went from the pit to the palace and ended up being the number 2 ruler in all of the land. Daniel in the lion's den. So many great stories. Daniel was a man of integrity, and the other leaders and people in high positions hated him because he had favor with the king. And you know, even a wicked king will like you if you're a person of integrity. And so they knew that the only way that they would ever trip Daniel up and get him in trouble with the king is if they could make some kind of a law involving his godly commitment that they knew that he wouldn't break because he would honor God. So they got the king to make this rule that for 30 days, anybody who asked any man or any other god or king or ruler for anything other than that king, that they would be cast into the lion's den. Well, Daniel had a habit of praying 3 times a day with his window open, and he continued to pray 3 times a day with his window open. I love that the Bible says with his window open. He didn't even say, well, I'm going to keep praying, but I'll do it quietly so I don't get caught. And sure enough, he got put in the lion's den. And the king was more bothered about it than he was. And the king stayed awake all night. You know, when you do the wrong thing, you can't sleep. There's no biblical proof that Daniel slept all night in the lion's den, but I've seen pictures of him laying down and having a nap while he's in there with all the lions all around him. And when the king looked in the next morning and saw that he was still alive, he was all excited. Oh, your God has come and saved you. And he said, my God came and shut the lion's mouth and delivered me. So here's the thing. You do the right thing. You get punished for it. But God will come and shut the lion's mouth. He will come and deliver you. I don't know where you're at in your life right now or what kind of decisions you're facing, what kind of moral decisions you're facing, what kind of decisions you're making about compromises you may have to make to keep your job, to keep your friends. Just because you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear, because God is with you, and it may take a while for you to get the right result, but there is no way that God will not come through and deliver you at the right time if you don't give up and quit. Are we going to do things the right way because they're right, or are we going to do them our way? You know, we get comfortable with our ways, and even though they destroy us, we hesitate to let them go. Sometimes the thing that feels right is not right, and the thing that's the most uncomfortable is the right way to do things. Now, you all know that Dave plays golf. I talk about Dave playing golf all the time. But the thing you don't know is that I used to be a pretty good golfer myself. Actually, Dave and I used to play in golf tournaments. What do you think of that? So, I mean, I wasn't just like, you know, all that amazing, but I was pretty good. Dave taught me how to play golf, and I thought when he started teaching me how to play golf that the man was insane. Because to be able to get your body to do what it needs to do to swing this thing right, nothing feels right about it. And he would get me in the position. I'd say, well, this feels stupid. I told him one time, I said, you'd have to be triple jointed to be able to, there's no way that all these different things can go in a different direction. Because see, one arm's got to be straight. This one has got to be a little bit, you know, relaxed. You got to wrap one finger around other fingers, and you got to squeeze, but not too tight. And then you got to get in this position. I haven't done this for years and years. And so then while you hold your hips still, your shoulders have to rotate around your hips, and then you got to bring through with your hips, and you hit the ball and it goes. But see, that doesn't feel right. Just because something doesn't feel right doesn't mean that it's not right. We have to stop living by our feelings and go back to what our heart says. Did I do that okay, or am I going to get a golf lesson? What? Don't hit my podium back there. Okay, thank you. Dave's always helping me with little things in my life. I just so appreciate it. He fixes my hair for me in the back almost every day. That's only because I've got a cowlick back there now, since I have some gray at the roots that you will never see. And so now it goes two different ways, and I can't see to get it fixed, so he loves playing in my hair. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. How many of you think we need to be a lot more committed to just doing what's right in our life? How many of you are going to do what's right, even if you don't get a right result right away, and you're going to just stick in there and do what's right to glorify God? How many of you are going to do what's right if you're the only person that's doing what's right? I'll tell you what, God has got some good things. Oh, my goodness, if you could just see the plans that God has for you. Oh, my, my, my. He has got some good stuff ready for you, and now you know what's happening? He's getting you ready for what he's got ready for you. It's yours, bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, but now we're getting rid of some of our wool. You don't get that if you weren't here this morning. We're getting our wool sheared a little bit so we're not top heavy and we fall over and end up being cast down. In other words, we have to get spiritually mature enough to be able to handle the blessings without letting position go to our head, without letting power cause us to mistreat other people, and when God brings more prosperity in our life, to use what He's given us to be a blessing and not just let it make us more and more selfish. Come on, get up on your feet and give God a praise. Well, you know, we all go through difficult times in our life. We tend to call them valleys. But we don't have to be afraid because God has promised to be with us every step of the way, and not only that, to lead us into victory. And today we're offering you something that I think lots of people are going to really enjoy. It's actually four teachings taken from Psalm 23. You know, a large majority of people can quote Psalm 23. And if you're anything like me, sometimes when you're just hurting or you just need a lift, you'll even quote Psalm 23 to yourself. And there's wonderful teaching in that psalm, four teachings, over 4 hours of teaching. And we're offering it to you today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. That's how much we want you to have this. We trust that you're going to send in the very best offering that you can and that you're going to really enjoy these teachings. And remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you right now, so have a great day.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. Spend time in God's presence and experience His love and care when you order today's offer, The Lord is my shepherd. In 4 hours of teaching, Joyce walks you through Psalm 23. She explains who Christ is as our good shepherd, and how He guides, protects, and nurtures us in everyday life. This resource is available on CD or digital download for your gift of any amount. Call us 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Pack your bags. We're taking the Love Life Women's Conference to Tampa, Florida, and you're invited.
You're here with me, and it's gonna be a good day.
Worship with Natalie Grant.
It's gonna be a good day.
And Elevation Worship.
Unstoppable by, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Featuring Joyce Meyer and her guests, Priscilla Shire, Lisa Harper, Sarah Jakes Roberts, and Dave Meyer. Early bird pricing ends May 31st, so register today. Come on, you know this is going to be an amazing weekend. Space is limited. This one will sell out fast. Register today.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.